You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what's going on? It's your boy, Sosa Cremenges, as always, a fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus and your host of the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of the Locked On Rams pod. You guys know how we do Wednesdays around here. I got my boy and former host Brad Motter to join me, and we're going to talk about some very interesting things that relate to the Rams right now. If you guys haven't heard, the Los Angeles Rams have officially hired Raheem Morris for their defensive coordinator position. We're going to talk about that in the second segment. To begin the episode, we're going to talk about our parting thoughts with the Los Angeles Rams and the Green Bay Packers and some of the turning points in that game. And then to end off the entire episode, we're going to talk about Deshaun Watson and the potential that the Rams could have to trade for him, as well as trading away Jared Goff in the event of a Watson trade. So to begin, like I mentioned, we're going to talk about our parting thoughts from the season and really what happened for the Rams in the NFC divisional round against the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. You guys have heard me kind of talk about it this week, so I'm going to let Brad have the floor here and kind of share his thoughts on what happened in this game and some of his opinions as to what went wrong for the Rams.
Whew, man, Sosa, thank you for having me on again. And it was a fun season sitting here in the guest chair. And again, kudos to you because you crushed it here in your first year with Locked On Rams. I'm excited to listen during the off season and just dive into all these topics and continue to join you and talk about some of these things, because now it is breaking down this season. What's next for the Los Angeles Rams? But I want to talk about kind of where we were coming into this and a little bit about that game and how it ended. Obviously, the Rams season up and down, good quarterback play first five, six games, and then shaky quarterback play to kind of finish it. The best defense in the league. We saw some young guys, Darius Williams, step up and really just become a Rams legend. Troy Hill, returning all those touchdowns, and Jalen Ramsey playing, cornerback one, Aaron Donald just being Aaron Donald. It was fun to watch, getting some of those rookies healthy and seeing the finish of Cam Akers, and exciting kind of knowing that hopefully going into next season that we've got a ground attack that we can consistently, as repetitive as we've always sound about this, chuck off 25 carries to the run game. And Cam Akers is special with some of those runs. We've seen that he can play hurt. Really excited about some of the youth on this team and what we've done through the draft. And then kind of coming into the season as where it went into the playoffs, right? Like, there was down to the last game. Are we in? Are we not, right? We had that Jets game that could have sealed it. And you look back at some of the wins and going, man, it would have been nice. We maybe are in a different position playoff wise and you have a different path to, getting the Super Bowl. But this was the way the Rams season went. We got that win over Seattle. You got to chalk that up as a big win for the Rams, not only in the division to consistently go back and go, hey, we beat you in the playoffs. Yeah, you won the NFC crown, but hey, we lasted an extra week longer than you. Always great to kind of have that over your division opponents on that mental edge going into next year. Continue to know that we can go up to Seattle and get back to owning the NFC West, which I think is a really important thing. And then this Green Bay game, right? Start off really close, 3-3 in the first quarter. The second quarter gets away from the Rams a little bit. They're outscored 7-16 in that third quarter. We fight back into the game. And really, we talked a little bit before this podcast, and I talked about not only like a moment in this game or, the fourth quarter or this or that, but a drive that really stuck out to me that just was the ball game to me. And it was, we had 13 minutes left on the clock. The Rams get the ball in their own six. Jared Goff kind of punches out a couple first downs to build some room. We're on the 32-yard line, first and 10. He drops back, looks right to Josh Reynolds, maybe a six-yard pickup. If he can kind of turn and get some yards, maybe a few more. It goes through his hands. At the time, it just seems like an innocent drop, right? Next play, second and 10. We're in a passing situation. Could have ran the ball there, but McVay's feeling good about what Jared Goff put together, getting him out of that end zone. And he takes a six-yard sack. Now, all of a sudden, we're in third and 16. We just kind of dump it down, pick up a few. I think it was fourth and 11. We punt. The next possession, they come down, score, and this thing is basically over. And I hate to go to Josh Reynolds and say, hey, man, that drop pass was a huge mark in losing that game, but he catches that ball, opens up the whole playbook on second down, third down and short. Even if you don't get it in those two, if you're in fourth and short, you have that opportunity maybe to go for it. Again, a million things could have happened after that Josh Reynolds catch or no catch, but that was the ball game. And it's tough to kind of look at those plays, but that's how you execute and win playoff football against a number one seed like the Green Bay Packers. So we just weren't good enough. The defense didn't do what we really hoped, and kind of keeping Green Bay and that number one offense under 25 points and give us a chance to win the ball game at the end. That deep touchdown to kind of seal it off definitely hurt deep, and really hurt deep seeing Aaron Donald shed some tears on the sideline, because that man put everything into the game. You know, he was hurting inside and out. And so to see that was just like, I was tearing up. I was in my hotel room like, don't get the camera off. I'm not ready to see, you know, Mr. Hulk, Mr. Terminator on the side shedding tears. But you know that he put everything he had into it. So next is just pick up the pieces and kind of move forward. And, you know, Green Bay might be one of these teams that runs all the way to the Super Bowl and win the whole thing. So at the end of the day, you understand you're beat by a better team. But overall, I think I'm really excited about the direction the Rams are going and stacking up some new talent in the coaching staff. Obviously, Brandon Staley heading, you know, just down the road to work with the Chargers, wishing him good luck. And it was exciting to see him be a part of this defense for 1 year. And hopefully, you know, with Morse coming in, that we can kind of roll over some of these things. I know they have some differences, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but still really excited about this team. I know there's a ton of teams out there that would love to be where the Rams are as far as position, leadership, players on the defense and offense, young guys, veterans, that type of stuff. So as much as I was upset and thinking that we blew a big chance here, really excited about the way that the season ended up turning out, getting a playoff victory, and then just looking at the future, man. It wasn't an all-in moment that fell short. Is this is the team that can continue to build over the next couple of years and continue to be in the playoffs, and hopefully at some point put together the right pieces to make that run to go get a chip.
I think you broke it down very eloquently. You know, it's unfortunate that the Rams couldn't go into the first seeds building and kind of knock them off. That would have been sort of a miracle type story. But again, I mean, they were just simply outmatched. And not only that, but they didn't even go in healthy. So, you know, you mentioned Aaron Donald kind of on the sidelines and then not having even Cooper Kupp and David Edwards and guys like that. It hurt to see Aaron Donald crying on sideline. I was definitely, you know, tearjerker as well for me. Like you said, you know how much these guys put into the game. You know what the game means to him. He's a guy who's never, ever going to give anything less than 150%. And he probably felt like he left, you know, his guys hanging by not being able to go out there and play. And it's unfortunate, obviously, because this is a guy who's never missed an NFL game in his entire career, never mind been hurt. So it sucks, you know, had to happen at that particular time. But it just wasn't in the cards for the Rams, unfortunately. You know, they're going to have to come back next season. And like you mentioned, there are plenty of bright spots for this team. Guys like Cam Akers, Van Jefferson, they're ending on a high note. Sean McVay's still around. Obviously, they got plenty of good guys in the front office. They've been drafting very well. And the team is positioned to do very good things moving forward, going into next season and over the next few seasons. And, you know, one of the pieces that they had to replace, like you mentioned a few minutes ago, was Brandon Staley. And that could potentially hurt the Rams. It could be an upgrade. We don't know exactly just yet. But I mentioned a few minutes ago as well that the Rams did hire Raheem Morris from the Atlanta Falcons, the former interim head coach there, defensive coordinator. And he's been all around the NFL as well as multiple other stops. And that's exactly what we're going to dive into in the next segment. We're going to kind of touch on Raheem Morris and what the hiring means for the Los Angeles Rams defense. And while we've got you, come connect with us on Twitter for all the coverage you need on the Los Angeles Rams. You can find me at QB's MEP. You can find Brad at LA_RamblingBear. And you can find the page at LockedOnRams. You're one of a kind, and so are your taxes. That's why TurboTax Live has experienced tax experts who are ready to listen to you, learn about your unique tax situation, and help you get the best tax outcome. Maybe you're moonlighting as a rideshare driver and have questions about what qualifies as a deduction. Maybe you want an expert to talk you through the process, since most of your income last year came from freelance jobs. Or maybe you'd like to hand the whole tax filing process off to an expert while you perfect your banana bread recipe. Whether you want to file with the help of an expert or let an expert do the filing for you, TurboTax Live tax experts are here to help, giving you the confidence to know that your one-of-a-kind, uniquely you taxes are done right. Intuit TurboTax Live. This episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. Welcome back to the second segment of the Locked On Rams podcast. As I mentioned before the break, Brad and I are now going to share some interesting news, and I already mentioned it, but the Rams have went ahead and officially hired, and this was insanely quickly, obviously, as they just recently lost Brandon Staley to the Los Angeles Chargers, the former defensive coordinator of the Rams. The Rams have hired Raheem Morris of the Atlanta Falcons, formerly. He was the interim head coach who took over for Dan Quinn last season with the Atlanta Falcons after Quinn's firing. He was also the defensive coordinator, and he's been at multiple stops, as I mentioned, in the NFL, at the college ranks, and really everywhere. This is a guy who, similarly to McVay, was hired very young into his career as a head coach with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And ironically enough, this isn't a random hire for Sean McVay. Morris and McVay actually spent time and overlapped together in two places, both the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Washington football team. Now, that was quite a while ago, over 10 years ago in Tampa Bay, and I believe about 7 or 8 years ago in Washington. So they have a relationship. They know each other pretty well. And according to Jordan Rodriguez of The Athletic, it seems that McVay kind of wants to be able to cede some of those defensive duties and stick to more of the offensive side, similar to what he did before with defensive coordinator Wade Phillips. Now, that makes sense with the offense being a unit that struggled last season and the defense obviously carrying the team. Now, some of the interesting things that Morris does and is probably going to do for the Rams this season is that he's going to definitely pivot, I believe, from the quarters-based coverages that we were used to seeing from Staley. A lot of cover four, the Rams actually ran the most quarters of any team in football. They ranked first, running quarters at 24.8%. Now, the weird thing about the hiring is that Atlanta was ranked 31st at running quarters at only 1.9%. So we don't exactly know if that has to do with the personnel that Morris was given in Atlanta and just trying to make it work there. But whether or not that's the case, we can expect the Rams defense to look differently, and they're going to run different schemes. And a lot of that is dictated by your personnel. So we don't know exactly what Morris is going to do 100% with the Rams. But looking back to his time in Atlanta last season, he ran cover one 31.8% of the time, according to Pro Football Focus, cover two at 16.7% of the time, cover three at 32.5% of the time, and quarters, aka cover four, only 1.9% of the time. So if you can add those numbers up, cover one and cover three account for nearly 65% of the plays that Atlanta ran on defense last season. That would mean that the Rams are probably going to transition to more of a single high defense, similar to what they had with Wade Phillips, and away from what Brandon Staley did with the Rams last season, using a lot of two safety looks, a lot of cover four, a lot of man-like principles in cover four. So expect the Rams to look a lot different. Expect the personnel to potentially change. We're going to probably look into some Atlanta Falcons free agents on the defensive side of the ball in the next few weeks, because those are guys that Morris could potentially bring into this situation, similar to how Staley brought a guy like Leonard Floyd from Chicago, and obviously knowing him due to coaching him in Chicago, to LA, and obviously that was a successful transition and signing. But Brad, I don't know if you've gotten a chance to kind of dive into even just looking at Raheem Morris, potentially his history, or you know, how the Falcons even stacked up on the defensive side of the ball last season. But do you have any thoughts on what, you know, Raheem Morris might do for the Rams here on the defensive side of the ball, replacing a very good defensive coordinator in Brandon Staley?
Yeah, it's crazy to say, like, this is a tough guy to replace, Brandon Staley, first-time defensive coordinator. So you think that's kind of a random statement to make. But Staley did an incredible job here. But again, the roster really was built for him to see success. And hopefully that's the same thing with Morris. I really like Morris, to be honest. And a lot of other teams did, too. And when this kind of news started coming, I'm sure there was a bunch of other teams that were pretty disappointed. There was talks of him even taking on that Atlanta Falcons head coaching job. He got the opportunity to interview. They went a different direction, but he's been a head coach previous. And I think I could be wrong, but I thought this was the second time that he's been an interim head coach. And I thought he's done really well in kind of going with the flow, what he did with Atlanta down there, kind of putting together some wins, being able to kind of allow them to finish with their head high. He has a lot of experience in the league. And I think you mentioned this about the connection that had overlapped with him and McVay when they were both a bit younger in those Washington days. So I like that there's some familiarity there. I like that he's got some stout in this league, that he's not a first-time coordinator here, that he's gone through the ropes, kind of coming over. He's going to be working with, we mentioned, just a talented roster. So I'm really curious to see what he does. You talked about the cover one, cover three, taking up a majority of the percentage of snaps. And as you kind of mentioned, is that due to the fact of what that roster looked like? Or is that really the style of play that he's going to try to bring, which would be interesting if there's a single high safety and you're looking at the roster and John Johnson making the big decision on him, and really the draft picks that we've put at that safety position over the last couple years, right? And Taylor Rapp getting healthy and Fuller being there. What direction do we go with John Johnson? Is this kind of writing on the wall? I think I saw him put up a post of kind of saying goodbye to the Rams helmet. And again, I was like, I just finished wiping my tears from Aaron Donald and you're going to show me this, John Johnson. So like, I think he's seeing the writing on the wall. But it's, I think that's going to be a big part of it, right? Like, what's the roster look like for him when he comes in? But I like the leadership. He always, you know, on the sidelines has this demeanor of seriousness, but also relating to his players. He's been position coaches. He's done defensive coordinator. He even was a wide receiver coach at one point while he was assistant coach for the Atlanta Falcons. So he's touched in multiple different areas on as far as being a coach. I think he's going to be one of those that the players really like as well. So I'm excited about this hire. Of course, it could have been, you know, a lot of other people. I think the interesting question is, you know, what happens with Joe Barry and Aubrey Pleasant? Do they continue to stay around and continue to hold their position titles? I know Joe Barry was looking at coordinator job at USC last year. There was kind of talks, would Aubrey Pleasant make the jump and be a D coordinator at some point, not only in this league, but with the Rams. So are those two guys okay with their position? I'm curious to see how this tailors down. And is he going to keep those guys on staff, or is he going to look to bring in guys that he's worked with in the past? So I think I want to see kind of where this trickles down from this hire over the next couple of days. I think that's going to be an interesting point for me as well.
That's the great point. We're obviously going to have to, you know, keep our eyes open to see what happens. But like you mentioned, Aubrey Pleasant was a guy that a lot of fans, and I believe the Rams were actually going to interview him, or did interview him anyways, for the defensive coordinator spot. So, you know, you look at his ability to progress guys' careers like Darius Williams, Troy Hill, guys that, you know, didn't really do much before he got his hands on them. And Jalen Ramsey has his best season of his career. And obviously Jalen Ramsey even shouted him out and talked about, you know, how big of a help he was, and not just as a coach, but as a man. And that's something that I think is very underrated about the hiring of Raheem Morris that excites me, is that you mentioned it, I mentioned it. He was a head coach before. He's coached a lot of different positions, a lot of different organizations, a lot of different roles. And this is a guy who has a powerful voice. He's going to be a very strong voice in the organization and for the defense. And I think, you know, you can't understate that. You've seen a guy like Brandon Staley come in as a first-time defensive coordinator and immediately put that strong voice to work. And guys respected him because of it, and they all bought in. And I think that's something that Morris is going to bring to the table here with the boatload of experience that he has. And I'm really excited to see what he's going to do with the defense. And, you know, like you mentioned, there's going to potentially be some personnel changes. We don't exactly know what players he's going to be looking for in certain roles and what kind of talents and skill sets the Rams are now potentially going to target in the draft. But that's going to be a discussion we're going to have all offseason long. We're going to probably get in press conference of, you know, Morris kind of breaking down his ideas soon. And then we can kind of divulge from that the information that he shares on what the Rams may be looking for. But again, that's all down the line. Coming up in the next segment, though, we're going to talk about the potential for the Los Angeles Rams trading for current Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson, and if it actually makes any sense for the Rams, and if there's actually any chance and a realistic shot that the Rams land Watson in the Watson sweepstakes. And make sure to check back on Thursday when we continue our coverage of the Los Angeles Rams. We're going to dive into how many draft picks the Los Angeles Rams have in the 2021 NFL draft. The NFL playoffs are finishing up with the AFC and NFC conference championships right around the corner between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills and the Green Bay Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust: betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to the final segment of the Locked On Rams podcast, the Wednesday edition. I mentioned it a few seconds ago on the ad read, but the Rams have a potential shot to land current Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. Now, it might not seem like a very realistic endeavor for a lot of fans, and it might not ultimately work out this way. Watson may actually end up staying put in Houston. We don't know for sure, but from all reports thus far, and from all accounts thus far, you know, even looking at his Twitter account and his social media, it doesn't look promising. It really doesn't. It sounds like Watson has completely cut off ties and, you know, contact with his current organization in the Texans and is 100% prepared to move on. And obviously, I don't need to tell you how big that news is. This is a 25-year-old quarterback, an absolute superstar, a top five quarterback in football right now, and probably, you know, off the top of my head, there should be 25, 26, 24. I'm not really sure, but that many teams should be interested in acquiring this guy's services. That's how special he is. He's obviously a tremendous talent. He's a tremendous leader, a tremendous person. And his ability to create big plays on the field is pretty much second to none. I mean, he's that good of a quarterback. He's obviously mobile. He does a lot of interesting things. And so when you look at the odds right now, according to our exclusive partner, betonline_AG. You can find them obviously at betonline.ag. You look at the teams that are listed, and the Rams are actually 10th right now at plus 1,000. So they're not at the top, obviously, but they are in the top 10. And that's very probably surprising for a lot of people, especially when you consider the fact that the Rams just paid Jared Goff last offseason. Now, with me saying that, you're probably thinking, how the heck could the Rams get out of a contract that they just paid last season? Why would they give up on a guy that they just paid last season? And how would they be able to afford Deshaun Watson? So a lot of questions, a lot of moving parts, obviously. But the bottom line is this. If the Rams do ultimately choose to move on from Jared Goff, they will come out in a net positive of $12 million saved on the salary cap. So ultimately, they would be saving money, and they're pretty much cash strapped right now. They are in the negative at negative $22 million, I believe, according to Over the Cap, in terms of salary cap space going into the offseason. So they are going to have to make some moves, and the most logical and easy move to save money is moving Jared Goff. Now, the Rams are not going to move Jared Goff unless they really believe in either their chances to land Watson, or they have something, you know, in terms of a word spoken agreement to land Watson, or have an idea to move up in the draft and get someone, or just really believe in John Wolford. But we don't really know what their plans are just yet. The thing is, the Rams are going to have enough picks to kind of make this happen. As we mentioned earlier this week, Brad Holmes was hired by the Detroit Lions. That gives the Rams two third-round picks in terms of compensatory picks, one in 2021, one in 2022. And they are projected, according to Over the Cap, two more compensatory picks, one third-round pick for losing Dante Fowler Jr. to the Atlanta Falcons last year in free agency, and Corey Littleton, a fourth-round pick for losing him to the Las Vegas Raiders. So the Rams ultimately still have a bit of a weird draft class when you look at it. They're not going to have a first-round pick. They're not going to have some other picks that they've traded away in the past for certain players. But right now, they are scheduled in terms of also those projected comp picks. They're going to have a second round pick, a third round pick, another third round pick, another third round pick, a fourth round pick, a sixth round pick, and a seventh round pick. So seven picks total, essentially a full draft class, but not a first round pick, and three third round picks to replace the first and the fifth that they are actually missing from their own draft class. So the odds are there. There is potential for the Rams to land Watson. The team that does trade for Watson is only going to inherit $10.5 million in cap this season. So very, very, very affordable for a superstar, obviously. And then you look at the last factor of it all. Jared Goff could be flipped for a team. We broke down the contract yesterday, why a team may be incentivized to trade for him. And not only that, but if the Rams would trade Jared Goff and would inherit Deshaun Watson, they would ultimately still save $2 million on the cap. So they would improve and they would save money, but you know, that would cost them a ton. Now, Brad, I got to ask you, one, do you think there is any realistic shot at the Rams actually saying, you know what, let's make this move? And two, do you think it's worth mortgaging a lot of what you have now in terms of potential Pro Bowl players, potential, you know, players in general that might have to go to the Houston Texans in the event of a trade, moving on from Jared Goff, and mortgaging the future? Obviously, they're going to ask for a boatload in terms of draft picks now, potentially in 2022, potentially in 2023. The Rams are going to have to dip into, you know, future draft classes to acquire the services of Watson to make a compelling offer that can compete with some teams like, say, the Miami Dolphins, who have multiple first-round picks, or the New York Jets, who have multiple first-round picks. The Rams are going to have to compete with a lot of teams that, you know, are going to want to acquire this guy. He's a special player. So, Brad, it's up to you, my man. What do you think? Do you think the Rams have a shot to actually do this and pull it off? And what would you say they should do?
Yeah, I think you got to make a move when you got a guy like Deshaun Watson available, and how many first round picks you need. I got you. I will fill that boat for you with first round picks in the future. Sure. Les Snead has proven it. You talked about all the third round picks that we continue to stack up. I go back to this quote that Les Snead was talking about when he was talking about draft preparation. He said, I want as many shots in the top 100 as possible. I don't care about the top 32. I want as many as possible in the top 100. And getting that second, third, really in that third round, you can do that. And as you talked about stacking up all those compensatory picks, and think about what's coming down the line, right? What we talked about earlier, where's John Johnson going? Where are some of these other players that are going to be free agents that are going to be leaving and signing deals? Leonard Floyd, who potentially might bring something back. I mean, and over the years, as we continue to flip this roster and maybe sign one-year type of guys, have them come in next to AD or on anywhere else in our defense, and then be able to leave and pick up picks. We're going to continue to stack up those compensatory picks down the road. Keep giving me those third round picks and forget the first round. We've been able to prove that Lesney's done this in the past, and he's got us to a point where we have a competitive roster. But man, you got a chance to go get a guy like Deshaun Watson. I mean, obviously he talks about the Bet Online AG has us at plus 1,000, 10th on that list. Like, it's not the best, but hey man, we're coming around the corner in this horse race, and you know, we could finish strong and get up there and put together a deal if it puts together Jared Goff in that deal. Because I don't see how, like you mentioned, if we're going to trade Jared Goff, we're going to have a plan on, is it Wolford? I don't know if they're that confident in Wolford after seeing one game and then seeing an injury, not having the draft pick to go get a number, you know, first round quarterback. I think it's going to have to be for a player for player, or have a direct understanding of someone else is coming in to help out that quarterback position. But this seems like a good fit for me, in a sense of you're sending Jared Goff down to the Texans to go reunite with Brandon Cooks. Maybe you add another piece of our offense and kind of, you know, sell this reunion of 2018 of Jared Goff did his best when he had a guy to take off the top of the defense and find a guy underneath to really kind of move those chains. I love it. I guess, you know, another thing that I looked at was, you know, this isn't unheard of. Go back to 2015, the year before Jared Goff and Carson Wentz got drafted. It was Winston and Mariota going 1-2. Both those guys in 2000 are backup quarterbacks. We're 1 year away from, you know, what we, you know, getting to that same distance of those deals. And Wentz was benched at the end of the season. He might have a chance to come back. But Jared Goff also, Rams aren't very happy with them. This isn't unheard of, except for if you go back to 2015, Mariota, Winston didn't get that huge cash deal that Jared Goff did. That makes things a little bit tougher. But, you know, looking at the final four quarterbacks in the playoffs right now, four of the guys are in the top five of Pro Football Focus as far as finishing top at the quarterback position. The other one is Deshaun Watson. Tell me where Jared Goff has been over the past couple of years. Not very high. And I think, you know, as I go to pull this up here, going back to 2016, Pro Football Focus by rank, he was 39th. 2017, 14th, 2018, 8th. Now think about those 2 years, 17 and 18. That's when we had a really solid O-line. After that, 2019, 20th overall. This year, 21st overall. It's important to have a stud at the quarterback position. Again, going back to the final four, it doesn't always work out that way. These guys are the top five, but if you look over the years, why has Brady been there so often? Why has Aaron Rodgers been there so often? Having a guy like Deshaun Watson, I think he said he's 25 years old, youth at that position. I give up as many first round draft picks. I've already known since 2016 that the Rams don't have him. So why is it going to change me as a fan or an outlook of some of these guys that can come through? Yes, you can always build your roster that way, but the Rams have proven that they can do it outside of that. Is it going to happen? Probably not, but I can get riled up about it and be really excited and envision him in horns and seeing what he could do with a young running back, you know, with Sean McVay, this mindset, this defense on the other side. I think there's definitely for him, he would look at that as an upgrade. But again, he's got the no trade clause. It's going to be up to him to see, you know, where he wants to go. And like you said, every team, you know, 20 something teams should be calling and at least kicking the tires. And I hope at least that Les Snead is kicking the tires on this, because this is one of those once in a lifetime quarterbacks that comes around, at least the way that I see it. I don't think he's just like, oh, he's been good for a couple years. He's been doing it in Houston where they haven't had much, and even trading away their number one wide receiver last year. And he still put up like career numbers this year. So I'm really impressed with him. I think he'd be a perfect fit in LA. But again, you're right. What do I have to say about it? I'm saying mortgage the future with first round picks. Just hold on to those third round picks. And I think that the Rams can continue to fill very talented players through the draft. It's a tough one, Sosa, but I pulled the trigger at any point. I'm kind of past my moment of Jared Goff. Last year, when I was full-time host of the show, I came into the season saying, this is a big year for him. And then the next year, it was a big year for him to prove again. And it just, every year seems to be a big year for him to prove it. And the mediocre, you know, top 15 quarterback-esque, as you kind of talked about on yesterday's podcast, and where he would be as far as money if we got rid of him, that's where I think he deserves to be. And the Rams got ahead of themselves, but they've shown in the past with Tavon Austin, Alex Ogletree, Todd Gurley, Brandon Cooks, that they've gotten into contracts a little ahead of it, but also been able to eat them and say, oh, we made a mistake, let's get rid of this guy. So is Jared Goff the next in line in that? We're going to have to wait and see. But if I'm putting in a vote, pull the fans and pull the podcasters, I'm saying pull that trigger and let's move on and find a quarterback and build around that and see how we can fill in the rest of the pieces. Because I know that our organization has shown in the past that they can really patch a hole. Look at our linebackers. We thought that was going to be a mess, and we had the number one defense in the league. So sometimes where there's a weakness, as long as we've got those studs there, the stars and scrubs approach, this would, you know, be another way to turn it up one notch.
For sure, and that's why you rely on guys like Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. And if you could do that at the most important position at quarterback, and you talked about it, I mean, Deshaun Watson's not exactly surrounded by superstars. This is a guy who like literally willed the Texans from arguably being the worst team in football to winning like six games or however many games they won. They were only in those games because of Deshaun Watson. And, you know, Dabo Swinney, his former college coach at Clemson, said this is the Michael Jordan of football. I'm not going to disagree with it. All right. I'm not going to disagree with it. I think he's a special talent, like you talked about. I think it's worth mortgaging the future. Obviously, we're going to have to keep our eyes on the situation. I'm sure there's a lot of fan bases, a lot of teams that are breaking this down, keeping their eyes on this situation, begging their general managers to go make a play for a top five quarterback in football right now, arguably a top three quarterback in football right now, a special talent. And like you mentioned, you know, the Rams haven't been shy from essentially just saying, you know what, we made a mistake, let's move on from this contract. They've done it in the past. They could do it again. There is a potential for it to happen. And it's very exciting to think about as a fan, as a person who covers the team. And I'm going to keep my eyes and, you know, on this situation. We're going to keep talking about it until something happens with Watson, whether he decides to stay put or, you know, whether he actually demands a trade and starts to become public with it. And the sweepstakes really begin, because that's going to really start the fun. And make sure you guys continue to check back with us on the Locked On Rams podcast to get all the Deshaun Watson updates as well as everything related to the Los Angeles Rams. And just a reminder, come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QBsMEP. You can find Brad at LA_RamblingBear. And you can find the page at Locked On Rams. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.